Hey, you got a crazy family?
We want to hear all about it.
Got a brand new podcast. It's called My Crazy Family.
And boy, we know there are some stories out there, and sometimes it just makes you feel better to get it off your chest or to hear about somebody else's crazy family. It lets you know that maybe yours isn't as nuts as you thought.
Yeah, the bar gets set pretty damn high. Trust me. You can call in your stories right now at 1-833-CRAY-FAM. That's 1-833-CRAY, C-R-A-Y, F-A-M, or write in your story at the website crazyfampod.com. That's crazyfampod.com.
And by the way, you don't have to use your real name. It's totally okay if you just want to make up names, but you just need to get rid of this information. We are your place.
You're not going to believe what you will hear on this podcast and the insane things that some families have put their loved ones through. 1-833-CRAY-FAM or write in at crazyfampod.com.
Stay tuned for our official launch date.
And start getting us those stories right now. crazyfampod.com.
My.
My.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family.
Today on another chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. When a young woman is charged with closing the bagel shop she works at late one night, she discovers she is in for far more than anyone could have ever expected. The shadowy figures, names being whispered in the dark, and much more unexplained activity takes over an otherwise normal night. That story, and so much more, today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And 855-853-4802, our phone number. And if you want to get access to our bonus episode every single week with some of the spookiest ghost stories on, as well as the archive, the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, it's all there for you when you're an extra podcast person. And all of it also commercial free, so you can tune right in there and no ads on any of the shows. Again, ghostpodcast.com or through the Patreon app. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. It's Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Hanging around here.
There we go. I had to unmute you. Go ahead. Say it again. Start again.
Oh, I said something really important, but now I don't want to say it again.
I'm glad. Thank you for that.
No, I actually was like, I'm pretty boring right now this week, to be honest. Although I went to see the movie Elvis, has nothing to do with the paranormal other than Elvis is dead. Mm-hmm. That movie was great.
When I
loved it, I loved everything about it.
I have a Elvis paranormal story.
For real?
For real.
Okay.
And I don't know. It was just a weird experience. It was one of the times I was there for St. Jude. And then we did the tour of Graceland. And I had my, it was like a Palm One or something. It was a phone. It was pre-iPhone. But this one worked pretty good for pictures. It really was very reliable. And I was going, you know, taking some pictures. I could not get the damn thing to take a picture of his grave, no matter what I did. Turned it off, turned it on, tried it. It would not take there. The second I moved away from like the grave site and looking at the grave, it worked.
Really?
Yeah, it was really weird. And I'm not like a big Elvis person or anything. I mean, I want to see the movie. I think it's cool, but I've never been like an Elvis collector or anything like that. I certainly appreciate his music, but, you know, it's, you know.
Well, you know, because same with me, because St. Jude, with a lot of radio stations, they do these radiothons. And so you hear the really, really, really sad stories and you hear the air talent come on and, you know,
cry
and all that shit. It's really hard.
It's basically, if you have depression, it's a great couple of days.
Yeah. So I did that for 20 years, once a year. And so the St. Jude people do like you to come to the hospital and tour it.
Yep.
And I think it's really important to be able to really talk about what they do. Mm-hmm. So it's a really good trip and they do some entertaining things while you're there and bring some artists in and things like that. But one of the things they offer you is that trip to Graceland. Mm-hmm. So in order to be able to get my flight, I could make it work if I went to the first tour of Graceland of the day. Mm-hmm. So there I was by myself. I didn't know anybody else on the tour. And so I'm just standing there waiting to get in because I'm the first group of the day. So I walked in and there was all these, the people I was with were like big Elvis fans. Mm-hmm. And they're like wearing their shirts and everything. And so we walk in the front room and everybody's just chatty, chatty, chatty. And it's like, you know, obviously for them, it was kind of a religious experience.
Sure.
And don't get me wrong. I thought it was cool. But so I go in the next room. And then by the time we got into the jungle room, I didn't realize this, but I was way ahead of them. So I'm in the jungle room 100% by myself. It was the coolest thing. It was a little bit creepy because after that, I don't remember how many rooms were left after the jungle room.
Did like a hologram of Elvis come out and offer you a drink?
Yeah, it was weird like that. It was like, because I turned around, it seemed super quiet in there. And I was like, oh, because they're all having a religious experience. Mm-hmm. And so I turned around to look at them and they weren't there. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, it just was weird. It felt like I was the only one in Graceland. But I was the only one in the jungle room, which was pretty cool, actually.
That'd be like a great post-apocalyptic thing where you're literally touring Graceland and then something... And
that's when the bomb goes off.
Yeah, and that's the bomb goes off. And then everyone is vaporized but you. And you're like, what the heck? And then you get out and you find out that the jungle room is actually also a fallout shelter.
Which it could be.
Yeah, exactly. It could be in theory. And then.
Well, like you're in the jungle room and then it becomes the shelter and these doors come down and they lock. And then like a thing opens and there's like a lifetime supply of peanut butter and whatever he ate.
And it's all rotting bananas. It's like bananas that have been fermenting for the last 50 years.
But for some reason, they're not, which is unusual.
Yeah, that could be too.
Like, I don't understand it, but I love bananas. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll just stay here in the jungle room by myself.
And then the only way to survive the radiation suit looks just like one of Elvis's outfits. So so when you try
you
to...
You got the cape, and you can put your hands out, wrap it around your face, like so protection shield.
When you're running out to escape eventually... You have Elvis and there's the tassels and everything going. It's great. That's how the show begins.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Let's make that movie.
I mean, I could totally see that being like one of the bits on, what was the show? I really liked it. And then they canceled it. Last Man on Earth. That was, Will Forte was in that. And that was the kind of that sort of a concept where they were just going to the craziest of places and they didn't know why they were the only ones left. But it was a comedy apocalyptic show. Did you ever watch it?
No.
It's on like Hulu or something. It's very good. It's very funny. There was like 3 or 4 seasons. That's one I should go back and watch again just because it's been, it'll be new to me. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And if you want to write in your story, you're welcome to anytime. Just go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And submit it there. All right. So this one says, so there's a few things that happened to me over the years that really made me uncomfortable. But out of all of them, there are a couple that I really stood out that I'd love to share. So the first one that really stood out for me was that scared me half to death is the time I was living in a 1-bedroom apartment alone with my cat. One particular night, I was just sitting on my computer messaging friends. As a way to relax after a long day, but instead of relaxing, I ended up having a feeling of uneasiness, like someone was watching me. Well, there's no way anyone could have, as I was on the top floor, 13 floors in total. I just kind of ignored the feeling. My cat, however, was on top of my computer, grooming, when she suddenly just stopped, perked up, and was staring right behind me, following something. So, of course, I had chills running down my body and looked back but saw nothing. So... distracted my cat, who went back to grooming. She then stopped again, however, with her mouth slightly open, and again stared behind me. It was following something again. The area behind me led to the bedroom. So I shooed her away, shut off my computer, and headed to bed. I kept the light on, though, just because I had an uneasy feeling and was seriously creeped out after what happened with my cat, so I just could not sleep in the dark. So I lay there for a good 30 minutes trying to get to sleep with no luck. Then all of a sudden, the air just felt heavy and thick, and I couldn't move my body. I then felt something on my foot, and when I lifted my head slightly to look down, there was no one there, not even my cat, but there was an indent in the comforter of a handprint. It started moving up my leg. You could see it sliding upward, and I could feel the touch. It was heavy, and it felt just like someone was gripping me. I was just terrified. And when the hand got about halfway up my leg, I was able to move again. Needless to say, I jumped right up and ran to the living room, turning on every and any light I could, and just huddled on the couch, curled up into a ball, just crying. This was the single most terrifying experience I had. Not only included a feeling of dread, but I was actually touched. Another time I was working at a bagel shop from the front area behind the counter. You see to the back of the store. We'd always see shadows running up and down the ramp with the silhouette of a person. My boss thought I was nuts when I told him, but they were there. I ignored them for the most part because I didn't get an eerie feeling until one night I was the only one at the shop. Around 9 to 9:30 p.m. it was dark out and I was the only one there closing up. As I was stocking the food behind the counter, I heard someone call my name, Leslie. It was very faint. I turned to look, but no one was there. So I ignored it and continued to prep for the next day, thinking it was my imagination. It's important to note that the flooring behind the counter was raised. So anyways, I continued with prep and then heard my name being called a little louder. But again, I ignored it and kept prepping. This entity called my name 3 or 4 times until all of a sudden, I felt the floor buckle slightly right beside my foot, which immediately made me freeze. And a slight breeze next to my ear, very subtle. And right in my clearest day, I heard, Leslie. I jumped so high that I shoved all the product in the fridge and ran out of there, whether I was done or not. There was no way I was staying there alone for another second. I get many of these experiences and never know what to make of them. I'm still scared to this day that something may happen again, but that was years ago, and luckily, nothing big has happened again yet. Thoughts on that?
What did you say?
I said, thoughts on that.
Oh, I thought you said, what's up?
What's up?
So, you know how sometimes you hear things where, speaking of what's up, you said that she was stocking food behind the counter. And in my, like, my brain, I thought of it as S-T-A-L-K.
Oh, yes. Like she's I-N-G. Just, yeah.
And I was like, I got focused on that for a minute. I was like, she's
I do that sometimes late at night.
And if, then I was like, yeah. Oh, stalking it. S-T-O-C-K. No.
It could go either way. I have stalked food in my house.
It's this is a creepy story if this person stalks food.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you have the munchies, you start stalking food in your pantry, in the fridge. You just kind of like, and you walk around, you do circles like, maybe I want this, maybe I want that. What if I combined this with that? And you are fucking stalking the food. So
that's funny because I just got hung up on it for a minute and I missed part of the story because I was trying to figure it out.
Yep.
But I think, you know, some people are like probably if that person opened herself to like being open to the possibility, I bet a lot of things would come in. But since it's scary, you know, so I definitely think that she has the ability to really make connections.
Yeah.
It says it hasn't happened in a long time. That's because she's scared of it happening. It's like me. I'm like, I don't want it. I don't want it at all. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to shut it down and
tell it to go away.
Other people want that.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but you know, my friend, she does paranormal investigations. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool that people can do that, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really cool. I wish I had the nerve to do it.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm afraid, you know, you go to a haunted place, they're like, oh, I like that girl. I think I'll go home with her.
So you would never do an investigation?
Oh, hell no.
What about a tour? Not an investigation, but like a tour.
I've done tours. And in fact, that same person, like, we're supposed to do we're calling an investigation. I'm using air quotes.
Yeah.
But we can bring beer. And so I think if you bring beer, it's really not a paranormal investigation. It's
I think it is.
Drinking in the dark.
I think you're inviting more spirits in. It's spirits with spirits,
like
really.
Literal spirits. Yeah. Maybe I should be bringing vodka in or something to having spirits while connecting with the spirits.
Are you going to play with the Ouija board?
Oh, no. You know that. You don't even have to ask.
Until someone surprisingly brings out the Ouija board. Then what does Carol do? Does she bow to the peer pressure of playing with the Ouija board? Or does she stand up for what she knows is right, just and safe for the rest of the country and the children of America? Because we believe the children of our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way not to play with a Ouija board.
That's totally me.
Yeah.
I am the one who say, fuck you people. I believe in children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. We don't need this shit.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Yeah.
Now, this doesn't have anything to do, this is quick, with paranormal investigations, but I was at a party once and the girl got really drunk and fell into the record player. This was a long time ago. And the guy got, like, he was, like, really pissed off at her. And, like, I thought he was going to hit her.
Oh, God.
And everybody just stood there, right? And I'm like, you know what? She did what any of us could have done. We're all fucked up. And like, I go off on the guy and I'm like, how dare you raise your hand to her? Because if we wouldn't have been here, you'd have hit her. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I'm leaving. And I walked outside and I remembered I didn't have a ride.
Oh, shit.
And I had to go back in.
Can I get a ride?
And then I'm like, yeah, I don't have a ride. Can somebody get
It's almost as bad as like leaving your purse back. Like, I'm going to go, I'm just going to grab this real quick. You know, okay.
I was all outraged and I'm telling him what I think.
He took the grand exit and then it's like.
It was like, it was his big exit. And then I just stood on the front porch and I was like, ah, shit. I need a ride. So I walk back and I'm like, can anybody give me a ride? And all these guys are like, I'll give you a ride. Cause they were either wanting to get out of there. They're like, she's really drunk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I can score with her. Anyways.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that would be me at the party with the Ouija board.
Well, let us know how that works.
Okay.
We're rooting for you. 855-853-4802, our phone number. Or if you want to write in your ghost story, we'd love to hear it. Just go to realghoststoriesonline.com and write it in right there. Let's go to a call. Hi.
Hi. I called in before regarding my mom. She is a retired nurse and was sharing some of her stories with us at a retirement party that we had for her a few months back. And I wanted to share a story that one of her colleagues, who's actually one of her best friends, shared with us. So we are from a pretty small town in southern Illinois, and it's a pretty tight-knit community, so I'm not even going to say the name of the town. But my mom's best friend, who also did nursing with her, her family owned the funeral home, one of the funeral homes that was in town. So when she was in high school and in nursing school, she actually used to help her dad do the makeup. So her dad would do the embalming and prepare the body, but she would actually help do the makeup of these deceased people. And this happened in the late 70s, mid 70s, I think. There was, I called in before about an accident, and there was a girl that was coming into the hospital to see my mom, but that's, or not to see my mom, but my mom thinks she saw her spirit. But there were a lot of car accidents involving teenagers and young people in the 70s, and it could have been maybe cars were faster, teenagers were just more wild and alcohol and all that. But my friend was making, my mom's friend was making up a teenage girl that was killed in a car wreck, no relation to the one that my mom saw in the hospital or walking toward the hospital. And what happened was the I think the father or the mother ended up passing away a couple of days after the daughter had died. So I don't know if it was from stress or what happened. But my mom's friend knew this girl and was helping prepare her so that she looked stylish for the time. And one of her trademark looks was she would wear nail polish, like this iridescent pearl color nail polish. I think that was real, it was like a frosty color, was real popular then. And so my mom's friend was delegated the job of doing the nail polish. And she had just finished and was about to head off to go do something else. And she heard a man's voice say, "That looks really, really pretty." And she turned and looked. There was nobody there. And so she thinks maybe it was the parent that had passed away a couple days after this girl's death occurred. So I thought that was pretty creepy, and I knew you guys would love that and enjoy that. And keep up the good work. We really love your show over here. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Or it was Lenny, the creepy janitor that just kind of shows up and disappears really fast. And that's all it was. It was Lenny.
Okay. Moving on.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you solved that for her.
Yeah.
It's always Lenny's fault.
It is.
Because there's so many Lennies in Southern Illinois. I thought that was a really interesting story.
Yeah.
Like a creepy job to have, number one.
Sure.
Somebody's got to do it. But then to hear somebody say that looks really nice. That was creepy, but cool at the same time.
Do you take that? Is that a creepy creeper? Or is that just a creepy, nice person?
I think it's creepy, but I also think it's somebody, you know, mm-hmm. and especially considering the parents, that situation.
Yeah.
Did she say it was one of the parents had passed?
I don't remember exactly.
But yeah, to know that one of the parents passed
mm-hmm.
and then hear that, like it makes you think it's the parent.
It does. Yeah, it really does. Hey, I got to feel like a creeper today. I was taking Harper clothes shopping, getting some stuff for a trip we have coming up. And then I got her over to the dressing room, and then I'm waiting outside. But the dressing room is located like right in the middle of women's underwear and jammies and everything. And she has a big old stack of clothes, and there's no benches, there's no chairs, nothing to sit on. So there I am. Kind of leaning against the cart, casually playing with my phone. And I texted my girlfriend. I'm like, so I'm being a creeper right now because I'm standing in the middle of women's underwear waiting for Harper to try her clothes on. And she's like, why didn't you stand somewhere else? I'm like, because this is where the dressing room is. There's no other place to go.
And it's like, sometimes, and it's, you know, like she wants to come out and yeah, show it to you.
Exactly.
First.
And I wanted her to do that because she's growing right now. We're trying to figure out what size she's at. And I needed to stay there. So it was, and it's deep back in this section. So it's not like I can just like kind of casually go over to my cart to, look at the hats or something. No, it's like everywhere you go, you see the same bra, and it's just.
And, well, then it kind of looks like you're underwear shopping.
I know, and I felt really.
And then considering you're with your daughter, you don't really want to look like you're creepily underwear shopping.
But
either.
Nobody knows that because she's trying on clothes for like a half hour. So nobody knows that my daughter's in the closed fitting room. I'm just standing there in this section looking at my phone.
Like, yeah, and there would be like being a single dad because you have full custody.
Yeah.
So there are some weird, I don't even think about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, because I could take her and that wouldn't be weird at all.
No. No, I thought it was a poor place for a fitting room to begin with, just for things like that, you know, where, I mean, there's a lot of times if you're not taking your daughter, sometimes, you know, your wife, your girlfriend wants you to, you know, you know, give you feedback or something. And then you're the guy that's standing in that section. I don't know.
It's so true.
It's poor store planning, and they need to do something about it, damn it.
There's got to be some psychology behind it, though, to where the reason they do that is that you're buying a new outfit, and then you, as you're changing your clothes in front of the mirror, you're like, oh, God, my undergarments are horrible.
Yeah,
I haven't bought a new bra in forever.
You're right. There probably is something like that. Or just a chair. If there was a chair there, people would know you're there waiting for someone in the room, not just kind of leaning against your cart. So, anyway.
Still a little bit of a creeper, though.
Still a little creeper, no matter what. Yeah. Let's get another call. Hi.
It's Christy from New York. I love your show. It keeps me entertained for many hours on a daily basis, so thank you for that. I just wanted to share a couple of experiences that I think you'll really get a kick out of. So, ironically, I work at a haunted house / horror attraction here in upstate New York. So, for 3 to 4 days every week, for 5 or 6 weeks a year, I spend a large chunk of my time surrounded by complete chaos. It's definitely not for the faint of heart, and our entire cast of actors really take their job seriously. So anyway, I'd heard some brief chitter-chatter from the actors about the place being haunted. Really didn't think anything of it because it was an abandoned factory, so obviously this type of building gives people the creeps. So there's 4 different attractions with different themes. At the time, my brother and I were working together in biotech. My scene was small. I had my own little tiny cubby. On the table in front of me, there's a body, chest cavity completely ripped open. And on the other side of that table is a narrow hallway where our paying victims are scurrying through trying to finally reach the exit. Well, there's a maze-like hallway that leads to my scene, but it's pitch dark, minus the occasional flicker from nearby strobe lights that really didn't make much of a difference anyway, because they really weren't all that bright. So I'm in my cubby, waiting for the next group, and I'm looking in the hallway that they'd be coming from, and I notice a black shadow forming and leaning in as if they were peeking around the wall. So I was really well hidden. So I went ahead and peeked over the little peephole that I have in, which is right where they would be standing if they were peeking around the corner. So nobody was there. And I popped my head back in and looked at my scene just to see if maybe they had started walking to get to the next scene and I missed them. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I hop over the dead body and I run to the scene after mine and ask my brother if I had somehow like missed a group. He had said no, that we hadn't had a group in about 5 minutes. So since then, I've really referred to him as the big man because the black mass was just large in general. And after explaining the experience to my coworkers, some had actually admitted to seeing the same thing in that specific attraction. So I'm not sure what's up with that or who it is, but it was interesting. And the next story is not mine personally, but my brother's. He and 3 other co-workers gathered in one scene just talking while waiting for the next group. They had noticed a small shadow, which was kind of like childlike, staring at them from behind a table. They had all agreed that they had seen it and started towards it, and it just disappeared. Later on, we spoke to the owner of the haunted attraction, who we are actually really good friends with now. And he had said that he had had a medium do a sweep of the factory. And she said that there were 2 little boys, a tall man and a woman. She said that there were a few others, but she couldn't figure out who or what the rest of them were. She also said, or he also said rather, that he had had paranormal investigators come in and stay overnight. And they actually caught something both on video and EVP. But those stories are for a different time. Thank you for listening. Sorry it was kind of lengthy, but I'd love to hear what you guys think. I'll call in with a few more stories if you'd like. Thank you guys again for everything you do. Hope everything is going well. Best wishes.
Thanks for sharing those stories with us. Thoughts?
That was one of my most favorite stories ever.
Why is that?
Because it was all of the things that were going on, like, and then I stepped over the dead body, mm-hmm. you know, just because she's working in a haunted
attraction.
So the setup for this story and was really interesting to me. Just besides, you know, the haunted stuff, it was just interesting. So we're, you know, we're in the whatever room, and I never really thought about it. You know, I hate those haunted houses because they give me the creeps.
Okay.
But to be working in one would be a different thing.
Yeah.
And then to see something like that, like that would be really creepy. Like you're working in the room, there's this dead body in front of you, and then you actually see something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's creepy.
I worked in a haunted hayride once in like 1997 or 98 or somewhere around there. And it was a bunch of my family actually did it. We were like helping somebody's haunted hayride business. We had to create our own scene. So we created an airplane crash site. And so there was like debris and all these suitcases, and back in the day, they were like the really old suitcases, and they were really, really cool, but you could find them everywhere and anywhere, and nobody wanted them. And now you could probably sell them for $300. And we burned them, and we made them look like debris and all that. And then I was the zombie captain that would kind of wander up to the wagon. And then my cousin was the stewardess, or I don't know, what do they call them?
Flight attendant.
She had the, like the little bottles of liquor stuck in her hair.
Oh, that's great.
It was fun. Yeah. It was,
I think it might be fun if you weren't dealing with hauntings going on while you're doing that.
Yeah. I've heard from a lot of people.
It's crazy because people are going through there for the effects and the acting and the showy part. But it's actually a haunted place. They could have taken all that stuff out of there and literally just had people walk through in the dark.
Well, and the only ones
probably been as scary.
The only ones who are going to know if there's something out of the ordinary going on are the actors, because they've, you know, they're doing the same scene over and over. If you're a patron going through there and something out of the ordinary happens, you have no idea. You think it's part of the show.
Yeah, but if you're in a place like that and some old warehouse or something, and it would just be dark.
Yeah.
And you're winding your way through there, that would be really scary.
Very much so.
No effects. Just you paid your $20, you're winding your way through there, and it's creepy.
Yeah.
We've just given him another idea for next year. It's like, you know what? We got our own haunted shit.
We should just do a big haunted house. That'd be fun. I enjoy going to the haunted houses. I just haven't done it in years because Harp's been too little. Maybe this year. Maybe this year I can get her to go.
And, oh, I hate that stuff. Hate it.
I don't like it when it's like too over the top, but I don't know. I don't know how bad they are these days. I do a bunch of commercials for a ton of them, so they do sound pretty extreme. So I guess I have a little knowledge there. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. And it's all commercial free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.